Would you stand? We'll read a few verses here, and then we'll look at other verses as we proceed. Jesus in John, we want to see him in action. Verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abram is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abram's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. Now, if you didn't remember, you could have picked it up from the dialogue here. Things are getting heated. These Jewish leaders decided they were going to go after Jesus. Big mistake. And finally, he's, in a human sense, he's had enough and he is going to answer their venom. I want to preach this morning on who's your father? Who's your father? Let's pray together. God, we ask you to anoint me this morning. These are your people, Lord. These are your children. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us. Lord, let us leave here with this assurance that we are the children of God and we are your people. Anoint the word, make it that sharp, two-edged thing, Lord, that would pierce in our hearts and lead us closer to you. Lord, anoint me to speak your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. And God's people said, amen. God, thank you for standing. You can be seated. There's an expression in our current culture, and I want to say before I tell you what it is, that it has two meanings in the common vernacular of today, the slang vernacular of the day. And one of those is a lewd meaning. And I hope nobody's mind goes there because I'm not sharing it for the lewd meaning. But there's an expression, it's simply this, who's your daddy? And it's used in this expression when somebody really feels like they've dominated somebody else. They have bested them. They're more powerful than they are. They've let them have it. And so they say, who's your daddy? Well, this is the game the religious leaders, the Jews, decided to play with Jesus. They decided to play the game, who's your daddy? And I can tell you one thing. They had wished they never started that game when it was all said and done. But that is a question that begs to be answered. Who is your father? There in the court at Jerusalem, things had become increasingly heated. And the Jewish leaders were ferociously attacking Jesus. They've told him he's had a demon. They've called him a liar. How does Jesus respond? We saw last week that Jesus responded by showing a stark contrast between himself and the religious leaders who attacked him and sought to kill him. Look what he said from our time last week. He said in verse 23, he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I'm not of this world. In other words, Jesus says, you've not accepted me because you got the wrong nature. You've got a nature that comes from the world. You don't understand me because I've got a nature that comes from another world. I'm a true child of God. You're not. That's why you're attacking me. That's why you're not getting this. Now, as we move forward in our time in the Word today, we see that Jesus proceeds to show that those Jewish leaders had a different father than he had. Amen. Amen. That's the reason they did not accept him. They had a different father. Amen. Jesus, in our time together, he says, you have a different nature than I do because you came from a different father than I came from. Now listen, church, I want you to know Jesus' words are true. Everybody in this building, everybody on this planet has a spiritual nature. Has a spiritual nature. And having a spiritual nature, everyone has a spiritual father. And Jesus tells us that according to the nature of our heart, either God is our father or Satan is our father. We reveal our father by our nature. Amen. Did you realize, I know you do, but who your father is makes all the difference of who you are. Amen. Your nature this morning reveals your father. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want my nature to reveal that God is my Father. And so let's look at this text. There's two different natures, and it's a difference between fickle disciples and real disciples. Here's the scripture. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. In that day like this, many postured like they were true followers of the law. Many claimed to be true followers of Jesus. But Jesus says the only ones who are truly children of God are those who are disciples indeed. And who is a disciple indeed? Not those that just have heard the word, not those that initially responded to the word, but a disciple indeed are those who continue in the word. Amen. I don't have a place here to interject this, but I must. There's a lot to be said that people hear the word, and there's a lot to be said that some even respond to the word. But let me tell you what gets you to heaven. What reveals that you have the nature of being born again, the nature of a child of God. It's not that you just heard the word, not that you just responded initially to the word, but the thing that shows you and I as a child of God is when we follow continually in that word. It's a continual thing. It's a pattern. It's a habit. Not those who claim to be saved, but those who keep the word. I've heard a lot of discussion lately, but I've heard the discussion, and it says soon we'll get to the point in technology that out on the street you won't be able to tell a human from a robot. That's a robot. They're getting pretty good. And there's going to come a time when you won't be able to tell a human from a robot. How do you tell a believer, a professed believer, from a genuine believer? In our world, it's been so mixed up. Lines of demarcations have been erased. So really, there is no difference between a professed believer and one truly converted. But Jesus says, you'll be able to tell the true one. Because he's not after chasing the things of the world or the newfangled philosophies that sweep through the church. But the true disciple, the true Christian, is one who continues in his word. What's the difference of nature? Secondly, Jesus said it's the difference between slaves and sons. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now listen, there's no other way to take this statement. We look at the statement as a tremendous announcement. The truth's going to set us free. But what did Jesus just do with this statement? He just told his hearers they're slaves. If you need to be set free, you're a slave. If you need to be set free, you're in bondage. That's what he just told these Jewish leaders, these religious folks who felt they were religiously superior. He said, you're nothing but slaves. Look what he says in verse 33. They answered him. They argue with him. Not a good idea to argue with Jesus, but they did. They said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Have you noticed when people get in heated arguments, they say all kinds of ridiculous things? And these religious leaders said to Jesus, don't call us slaves, we're free people. They didn't even start out as a nation as free. They spent 400 years in Egyptian bondage. And then they got to the promised land, and you can read it in the book of Judges. At least 7 times in a short period of time, they were taken captive by other nations. Read through the history. Assyria, different ones came down and put them under tribute and put them in bondage. And then came the Babylonians. And for 70 years, the Jews were in Babylonian captivity. But the topper is this, right where they were standing there and saying, we're free, we're not slaves. They were under Roman dominance. Rome had conquered them. Rome had put them under its feet. And now they're slaves to Rome. And yet they're boasting, we were never in bondage to any man. That's not true. They were. But worse than the Roman bondage was the spiritual bondage. Look how Jesus answered in verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, you're claiming you're free, but whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. It was inner slavery that Jesus was talking about. It was the slavery of their mind, the slavery of their hearts, the slavery of their wills. Amen. Jesus said, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Now, don't read this wrong. It isn't just that if you sin, you'll be enslaved by sin, though that is true. How many knows that's true? If you sin, you will become enslaved by sin. But that's not what Jesus is stressing. Jesus is stressing, since you have the nature of a slave, that's why you're sinning. Though it's true that this sin makes you a slave, that's not Jesus' point. Jesus' point says, because you are a slave to sin, that's why you are sinning in your lives. It's your nature. You reveal that you're a slave by your life of sin. I want to tell you something. If there's ever a debate in your life, who's in control, me or my sin? Let me tell you, it's sin that's in control of your life. That's why at Calvary, such a wonderful song. We were slaves to sin. Amen. Who's in control of my life? Me or sin? If I'm not born again, if I don't have the nature of a child of God, sin's in control. And let me tell you something. Sin will never stand for you telling it what to do. Sin will never allow you to tell it. You can tell sin to leave. You can tell sin to leave you alone. I'm talking about if you're not a born child of God. You can try to tell sin I've had enough. You can try to tell sin I'm not going to do it again. You can try to tell sin I'm through with you. But you can't tell sin what to do, because sin is the master and you're the slave. And that's what Jesus was saying. Look at verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. You have to understand in their mindset, these Jews were claiming to be children of Abraham and the family of God. And so they were claiming they had all these special privileges with God. And they were trying to say that they had all these special things that were true about them. And Jesus says, listen, take now. Homes back then had slaves. He said, in a home, the slave does not have the privileges of the family. It's only the children that have the privileges of the family. A slave can be gotten rid of, but a son abideth forever. He's speaking of himself, but he's speaking beyond himself to all of us who would become the children of God. Amen. If I'm a slave to sin, I have no claim on the privileges of the family of God. If I'm a slave, I have no claim on the blessings of the family of God. Oh, but if I've got a different nature, if I'm a child of God, I can claim the privileges. I can claim the blessings of a child of God. And because he abides a son forever, we can abide a son forever. And we must go on. I wish we had time just to stay there. But look at verse 36. I'm talking about the difference between a slave and a son. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If you'll remember in verse 32, Jesus says, the truth shall make you free. Now he says, the Son shall make you free. I can only come to one conclusion. If the truth makes us free and the Son makes us free, the only conclusion I can come to is that the truth is the Son and the Son is the truth. And if I have the Son, I have a truth that sets me free. Oh, someone say praise the Lord. If you're set free by the Son, you're free indeed. This should not be surprising, because at the initiation of his ministry in the synagogue, Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah, and in the commencement of his ministry, he declared his purpose for coming. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach deliverance, to set the captive free, to open the prison doors, amen, to set at liberty them that are bruised." That's why Jesus came, is to set men free. I must declare it. Amen. Sin will bind you. Evil will bind you. Flesh will bind you. This world will make you a slave. But I'm telling you, Jesus has come to set you free. There is a freedom that's found only in Jesus. He'll set you free on the inside. He'll set your mind free, your heart free, your soul free. It's what he's come to do. And you'll be free indeed. Never is true freedom the ability for one to do what his flesh wants to do. Never is true freedom the ability to do what I want to do in the world. True freedom is, I don't have to do what my flesh wants me to do. True freedom is, I don't have to do what the world wants me to do. True freedom is, I don't have to be Satan's servant and do what he wants me to do. True freedom is, I can live for God. True freedom is I can obey his word. True freedom is I can be a son that does the will of the Father. Free indeed. Amen. Amen. The world makes a mistake in imagining that being a Christian is bondage and being a participant of the world is freedom. Oh, they've got that backwards in every arena. Amen. I tire of that. You can hear that message. Why would you want to be a Christian? You got to go to church on Sunday. And why would you want to be a Christian? You can't do this and you can't do this and you can't do that. You're in bondage. Why wouldn't you want to be a child of the world? You can do what you want to, have relations with whom you want to have. Amen. Do drugs if you want them. Do alcohol if you want them. Amen. Come to the world and be free and quit being in bondage as a Christian. They've got it all backward. Let me tell you, nobody lives as free as Christians. We're free from the diseases. We're free from the habits. We're free from the addictions. We're free from the... And nobody's more in bondage than this world. They're bound by pornography, bound by alcohol, bound by illicitness, and they're taken captive by Satan at his will. The modern church has it all wrong. They claim that being saved by grace frees us to live as we wish. They can't even read Scripture, because Scripture says in Titus, the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly. I want to tell you, if you really get a hold of the grace of God, the saving grace of God, you won't have an attitude, because Jesus died for my sins and has given me grace. I can do the things of the world that I want to do. I can live like the world if I want to live it like that because of grace. If you've really encountered God's grace, you're saying, God, I'm so glad you saved me and set me free. I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to serve you with all my heart, mind, soul, and body. Hallelujah! I said hallelujah! It's the Christian that's free. What's your nature? Slave or son? The difference is also, Jesus says, the difference between biological and spiritual. Look at verse 37. Jesus said, I know you're Abraham's seed, biological. But you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. You see, these Jews thought that because they were descendants of Abraham, they were automatically the children of God. They didn't have the terminology then. But if it were today, they would have said, we've got Abraham's DNA. Go ahead and do a test. It'll show that we're Abraham's children. Therefore, we're the children of God. Jesus said, I know you're Abraham's seed biologically. But as Paul said in Romans, he said, not because they are the descendants of Abraham, are they his children. Paul makes it clear. It's not in the biology, the DNA, that made a Jew a true Jew. It was a relationship with God. I know you're Abraham's seed. Being a child, listen to me this morning, being a child of God is never in our blood. Being a child of God is in his blood. What in the world are you talking about, Pastor? Amen. Don't make the mistake of these Jews and say, I was born to Christian parents. I was raised in a Christian atmosphere. My family has been Christians clear back to my great, great, great grandparents. And therefore, being a part of a godly family, I'm a child of God. Big mistake. It's not in the biology. It's not in the DNA. Amen. It's in a spiritual rebirth. It's only a spiritual birth that makes us a spiritual child of God. They revealed, yes, they had the right biology, but they're not children of Abraham because they don't have the right spirit that Abraham had. Amen. Even they were trying to kill Jesus. Jesus said, I can tell you're not spiritually children of Abraham. Look what it says right here. Amen. Because my word hath no place in you. They rejected the word of God. Listen, you could do the same thing, but I have gone on YouTube. Listen, this is not isolated. I have found instant after instance where a true preacher of the gospel, please hear me, someone that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ as Paul preached it and Peter preached it, I've seen them preaching to a crowd, and the ones that rise in opposition to that preacher are church young people. They go to the latest place with the latest variation of the gospel, and they come against the preacher of the gospel. Even not the sinner, they do. And they begin to holler with anger. They're incensed. They holler at that preacher, you're judging and you're not supposed to judge, and totally miss the scripture. Jesus said, judge righteous judgment, and they ignore that. They come against that type of preaching and they say things like this: you can't tell us it's wrong to live this way, and you can't tell us it's wrong to live that way, because grace has covered us and God doesn't care how we live. He loves us anyway. Oh, what a distortion of the grace of God. But more importantly, all the preacher preached was what is in this book, this word. I want to tell you something. If you're angry at the word of God, if you can't stand to hear the true word of God, you're not a true child of God. A true child of God recognizes it's the word of God and says, I accept that. I want that. You can take that challenge. The true word's not in them. And therefore, they may have come from Christian families, but they are not true spiritual children of Abraham. The difference, next of all, is between having God as one's father and Satan as one's father. Look at verse 38. And Jesus said, I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. In other words, you don't have the nature of a true believer, a true child of God, because you don't have God as your father. Satan is your father. Now listen to me. Physically, there is only one human race. When you begin to say, well, there's different races of people. There's African American, and there's Asian, and there's Caucasian. When you begin to say there's different races of people, whether you're aware of it or not, that's a racist statement. Because with DNA as a proof, there is only one human race. There's only one human family. If you don't believe it, I'll let you look it up specifically. In the book of Acts, the preacher said, out of one blood, he's made all people. Out of one blood. Amen. There's only one human race, biologically. But spiritually, there's two human races. There's children of Satan and children of God. And if we could look at somebody's spiritual DNA, you could tell who their father was. Amen. I've been a lot into genealogy, and so my wife asked me what I wanted for my birthday. And I said, well, you know, I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that DNA test. Come to find out, they were running a special, two for the price of one. You could do two tests for the price of one. And so when the packets came, you have to take a sample. I don't know, has anyone done that? They give you a little vial. Some of you have. You spit in that. So we looked in anticipation, and our packages came. And one evening I said, honey, it's going to be a romantic night. Let's come do something together. And we broke open our packages, and we spat together until we filled a little vial. And then you wait for the report to come back. Now, listen, before I tell you this, I want you to know I do not believe in evolution, and I do not accept their premise. Okay? But one of the surprises I had was that I have 79% more Neanderthal than most people. Kind of explains the big head, I guess. Man, that's I'm the missing link. And I'm barely half English. But if we could do a spiritual DNA test, what would it say? Would it reveal a child of God? Would it reveal a child of Satan? They have those talk show hosts. I hope you don't watch them. But two men are both claiming to be the father of a child. And they'll do a DNA test to prove which one is. What would the spiritual DNA test? Jesus gives us some of the spiritual DNA tests. First of all, he says, what do you do? How do you do? What are the things you do? That reveals your spiritual DNA. Look at verse 39. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. So they're still making that claim. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, if you had Abraham's DNA, you would do the works of Abraham. What did Abraham do? He heard from God, but when he heard from God, he obeyed God, he believed God, he trusted God. He did what God told him to do. That's what Abraham did. Verse 40, Jesus said, but now you seek to kill me, a man which hath told you the truth, which I heard of God. This did not Abraham. No, you do the deeds of your father. Jesus said, you've tried to kill me. That reveals you have the nature of Satan and not the nature of Abraham, not the nature of your heavenly Father. You try to murder me because you don't like the truth, and that reveals your nature. And then they tried to hit back. Look how nasty this is getting. When Jesus reveals who their real spiritual father is, they say, at least we got one, like little kids. And they pick up this thing that ever since Mary was with child by the Holy Spirit and not by Joseph, they pick up this theme and said, well, at least we're not illegitimate. You realize they're slurring Jesus here? People try to interpret this differently, but there's only one way to read this. We're not born of fornication like you are, Jesus. You're the illegitimate one. We have one Father, even God. They're playing this game, and they will lose. Look what it says in verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, here's the second thing. Remember the first spiritual test of DNA. Do you do the things of God? Secondly, he says, if God were your father, if you had spiritual DNA of the Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Jesus says, no, God's not your father. If God was your father, you would love what God loves. And God loves me. And if you had that spiritual DNA, you would love me. How many knows it's not changed? If you have spiritual DNA, you will love what God loves and you will hate what God hates. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 43. Please, I know you are, but please follow these scriptures. They're important because they're Christ words. But he said, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You know what Jesus just nicely said? He said, I might as well be speaking a foreign language to you. Because I'm telling you these things, I'm making them clear, and you just don't hear it. You don't get it. Listen, he was saying, because you're not in the family of God, you don't speak the language of the family. I'm not speaking of religious jargon like, did you get it? Speaking of the Holy Spirit, or you know, did you have a glory service? I'm not talking about jargon of the family. I'm talking about understanding of the family, like being born again, like being converted. Jesus says, not being a part of the family of God, you don't speak its language. Nothing has changed. If the word, with what I'm preaching this morning, seems strange to you, if it seems incomprehensible, like I'm talking a different language, if you're not getting it, if you're not seeing it, that doesn't say anything about my preaching. It says something about your nature, because I'm reading the words of Jesus. Amen. People reveal their nature by whether or not they get the word. Amen. Verse 44, Jesus says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. There's another part of the spiritual DNA. Do you do what Satan would like you to do? I never forgot, and I've run into this several times talking to a young person about living for God, and they have said something to me like this: I've done what the church wanted me to do all my life, I've done what my parents want me to do all my life, and now I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to do what I want to do. Amen. I learned a long time ago to ask this: why is it when you say you're going to do what you want to do, you're doing the very thing that Satan wants you to do, to destroy your life in your soul? No, you're not doing what you want to do. You're doing what your father Satan wants you to do. It's in your DNA. That's what Jesus said. Jesus went simply beyond saying God wasn't their father. He told them who their father was: the devil. Amen. That's why they did the things of the devil. Look, it's worse than that. It isn't that they just had to do the lust of Satan. They wanted to do the lust of Satan because it was their nature. Satan was their father. Look what else Jesus says. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and a father of... He's a murderer. Satan was behind Cain killing Abel at the very beginning. He's a liar. In the garden, Satan told Eve, ye shall not die. How many know Satan is behind the evil of our world? And whenever we choose this world and we choose to sin, we show we have Satan's DNA embedded in our very nature of mind and heart and soul. And it gets sadder yet. Look at verse 14. Jesus says, Satan lies to you and you accept it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. In other words, Jesus puts it this way. He said, you will readily and quickly receive what Satan says, but I, the Son of God, tell you the truth, and you deny it. You don't want to hear it. Even what a sad thing. I, as a Minister, I've experienced that. Amen. Pour out your heart to young people and try to tell them as closely as possible this truth. And then there's an egg-headed professor, amen, who claims to be an atheist, pushes atheism, pushes ungodliness, and he'll tell them something, and they'll listen to that egghead instead of this egghead. Amen. Amen. Listen, that's what Jesus is saying. Who are you listening to? Amen. Listen to the Son of God. Listen to the one that's come to seek and to save your lost soul. Someone say amen. You reveal your nature by whether you respond to liars or truth tellers. You know, here's some things that people are believing. You know, they found out this Big Bang is impossible and that life from non-life is impossible. Scientists have. So many of them today are purporting that the properties of life, the ingredients of life, came to our universe because intelligent beings from a parallel universe went through the warp to our universe and planted the ingredients of life. And that's how the one cell became you and I. They'll believe that. And they won't believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. They'll believe things like a house is really haunted by a ghost. They'll put that on the news. But they won't believe that you can come to church and the Holy Spirit moves amongst His people and encourages and strengthens and changes. People will believe in the evolution from a one cell to a human, but they won't believe in the power of Christ to convert a sinner into a saint. Oh, but I believe that because He told me that. I said, He told me that. Come as you are, and He'll give you rest and a changed heart. Oh, I must go forward. Verse 46, Jesus says, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Jesus said, if I'm telling you an untruth, show me the evidence. Condemn me before the people and the religious leaders. He knew they couldn't. They had no evidence. He was not speaking the truth. And so He says, if I am speaking the truth, why do you not just accept it? Verse 47, he that's of God heareth. There it is. He that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God. Paul put it this way, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Amen. Why do some not get it? Why do some not respond to the Word of God? Why can some sit and be unmoved? Listen, it matters not how clearly the Scripture is presented. It matters not how anointed the speaker is. It matters not how interesting the sermon is. It matters not. They don't get it because they don't have a heart to get it. They don't have a nature to get it. Amen. They have the nature of their father, Satan. And Jesus said they won't get it. And then the difference of nature is the difference between Jesus and the Jews. We're about down. We'll go through this quickly. But notice, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? You can always tell when people's argument runs out or they recognize you got them because they quit dealing with the issue and they start calling names. Amen. Start reasoning about righteousness. Oh, I know what you are. You're a holy roller. Amen. Weak argument. So you start calling names. Right? Weak argument. So they said, you're a Samaritan. Listen to the things they said of our Lord. You're a Samaritan. They meant it as a slur, a half-breed, someone that doesn't have true religion, someone that worships at Mount Gerizim instead of on Mount Zion. You're a Samaritan. And beyond that, you have a devil. They said this to our Lord. Verse 49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. How did he know they had the nature of Satan? Because they did everything they could to dishonor Jesus. Jesus said, notice the difference of nature. Ever since I've stepped foot on this planet, I've done nothing but try to honor my Father God. And ever since you've known me, all you try to do is dishonor. I tell you, you can tell how your nature is. Who are you trying to honor? Are you trying to honor God or honor self? I'm telling you, if you've got the nature of the child of God, there's something in you that says, I want to honor God with my worship. I want to honor God with my praying. I want to honor God with my living. I want to honor God with my life choices. Jesus says, who do you honor? Verse 15. Jesus said, I seek not my own glory. There's one that seeketh. Amen. Jesus is noting what he already did on the Sermon on the Mount. These Jewish leaders, they gave alms. They prayed for their own glory. Jesus said, I haven't been seeking my glory. I've pointed your attention to God. Hallelujah. A true child of God is not out to promote himself. He's out to promote God. Verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. They should have rejoiced right there. There's a promise of eternal life. And if we keep his word, amen, we can have eternal life. Instead of rejoicing at that, amen, they came against it. Amen. They began to respond to that. They said, Jesus is saying, you ought to want what I'm telling you. Amen. Unlike Satan who lies to you, unlike Satan who would deceive you, I'm going to tell you the truth. And if you'll receive that truth, you're going to live for an eternity in the presence of God and escape an eternity of hell. You ought to receive that. Verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know thou hast a devil. They can't argue the issue, so they're calling names again. They said, listen, Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Listen to him. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? Wrong question. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus, you claim the secret of eternal life, but even the great Abraham is dead. All the prophets are dead. Do you really think you are greater than they are? Amen. Those people were wrong. Number one, because Abraham was not dead. Jesus said, have you not heard that he is the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. They might have put Abraham in a tomb, but he wasn't dead. Hallelujah. They were wrong on the second part, because they were saying, you're nothing compared to Abraham. What they didn't realize was a greater than Abraham was there, a greater than Isaiah. Is he greater than Abraham? Yes, sir, because he created Abraham. He called Abraham. He gave Abraham a son. Hallelujah. He was Abraham's God. Yes, he's greater than Abraham. I wish people today would just see that Jesus is greater than the superstars of American Christianity. I said he's greater. Glory to God. I'm glad Brother Brian's preaching tonight. I'm out of steam. Verse 54, Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say he's your God. It's not just who I say I am. It's who God says that I am. You're trying to denigrate me, but the only thing God has ever done is honor me. Four more minutes, okay? Thank you very much, timekeepers. God honored his Son. When his Son was born in that manger, God sent angels from heaven to declare it. When Jesus was an infant toddler, God sent wise men with gifts to honor him. When John the Baptist baptized him in the water, God honored Jesus with a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son. Amen. On Mount Transfiguration, God honored Jesus. Did you know that God also honored Jesus in the tomb? How? Because the scripture says God honored him in that he would not leave his body in the tomb to see corruption, but he brought him out before his body and changed it before it decayed. God has honored his Son, amen, in that his Son has ascended back to heaven and is at the right hand of the Father. Everywhere you look, the Father has honored the Son. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, you've done nothing but call him a Samaritan, telling me as a devil and is a liar. I want to tell you something, church. You want to know how we can have revival? You want to know how you can have personal renewal? Lift up Jesus. Honor Jesus. Amen. As the Father honored him, lift him up. Would you come, music? Verse 55. Yet you've not known him, but I know my Father. If I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. Jesus says to the leaders, you're wanting me to say that I'm a fake, that I'm not really the only begotten Son of God. But if I said that, I would be a liar just like you. The last difference, and it's just a few verses, is a difference between Jesus and Abraham and every other human. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. A quick question, how did Abraham see the day of Jesus? Because Abraham saw the spiritual angle of his call, and he looked for a city which hath builders, a builder whose foundation and maker was God. He was looking for Jesus. Even how did Abraham see Jesus? Because when he was sacrificing his son Isaac, he heard the voice from heaven that said, kill not your own son, because God hath provided himself a lamb. He saw Jesus in the offering of Isaac. How did he see Jesus? Because Abraham's not dead. And when Jesus was born in the manger to come into his day, Abraham saw the birth of our Lord. Amen. Amen. Abraham saw my day, and he was glad. Verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Oh, I don't know what's going on in their heads. They've got it all backwards. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see me, and the Jews have twisted it and said, when did you see Abraham? Jesus never said he saw Abraham, though he did. He said, Abraham saw me. But they've twisted the question to try to make him look bad. And they said, you need to do some math here. You're not even 50 years old. He was about 33. Amen. You're not yet 50 years old. And are you going to tell me that you've seen Abraham? That's been 2,000 years ago. How are you going to respond to that? Jesus said, it's this simple. Look in verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was... Let me hear it. Before Abraham was. Amen. If you've only got half a head of grammarian knowledge, you know that's not the expected tense. The expected tense would be, before Abraham was, I was. Amen. 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 That's the expected tense. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Jesus isn't just going to claim that he was before Abraham. He's going to claim that he has always been. He wasn't just before Abraham. He was before this planet was created. He was before light. He was before atoms. In fact, he's always existed. He didn't say before Abraham was, I was. He said before Abraham was, I am. John the Baptist said, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Hallelujah. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I am Jehovah. I'm the one at the burning bush. I am the one that led the children of Israel out of bondage across the wilderness into the... I have always been, and I will always be. Oh, glory to God. They may knock on your doors with their little magazines and their New World translations and tell you Jesus isn't Jehovah, but I'm going to take his word for it. He said, I am. Glory to God. Oh, come on, church. Hallelujah. He's God. We're not worshiping another man, another teacher, a moral example. We're worshiping God himself. Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Verse 59, the last verse. Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself. And he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them. It's not his time to die. I want you to notice one thing and we're done. Jesus hid himself. They didn't want to understand. They didn't want the truth. They were trying to find him for nefarious purposes, yes. But because they didn't want the truth, he hid himself from them. Would you hear me all over this building? If you really don't want the truth, Jesus will hide it from you. I said, if you don't want the truth. I listened to a debate with an atheist a few weeks back. He used to be a Christian. He said, I want to tell you what, I'm not a Christian.
He said, because when I grew up in church and wanted to find God for myself, I sought for God and I said, oh God, show yourself to me. And he said, God never showed himself to me, and I never found him. Of course, my first response was, God said, you shall seek for me and shall find me when you seek for me with all your heart. But my next thought was this. The reason you didn't find him, because you didn't really want to. You knew what that would entail. You were raised in church. You knew what that would mean. And you didn't find God because you didn't. The reason you don't find God is the same reason a thief doesn't find a policeman. You don't want to. Amen. I'm telling you, if you really don't want the truth, you won't see it. You'll never get it. You'll say, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard this morning, because it'll be hid from you. But I want to tell you another thing. If you want the truth, he'll walk right down your aisle. He'll come right into your pew, and he'll speak right to your face, and he'll lead you fully to himself. He is not hid to the, you shall search for me and shall find me. Oh, glory to God. Would you stand so I'll quit? I want to ask you one more time. Who is your father? Take a look at your nature. Who is your father? I promise you, this is the last thing, only as a means of illustration for the altar call. Amen. I want you to know, as I preface this, I vehemently am opposed to predestinationism and once saved and always saved. And they have a very tricky thing that they say and use. It's rhetorical. They say, well, you know, some people, speaking of us, believe that you can be saved and then lose your salvation. We don't believe you lose it. We believe you give it up. But anyway, they say they believe you can be saved and lose your salvation. They say that's ludicrous. That's silly. Because how can a child of God become a child of Satan? That's their reasoning. You can't lose your salvation. You can't walk away from God, because a child of God cannot become a child of Satan. I get aggravated at them and excited at the same time. Did you know, if I followed their reasoning, I wouldn't believe that anybody could ever get saved. Because if a child of God can't become a child of Satan, a child of Satan can't become a child of God. That's the aggravation. But the excitement is, I know something. A child of Satan can become a child of God. Hallelujah. Look at the Apostle Paul. Amen. I said a child of Satan can become a, he'll change your spiritual DNA. He'll give you a new heart, a new mind, a new nature. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. I know you got something, Sister Tricia, but hit about F and help me. Oh, yes, oh, yes. I want you to come sing in this. If you know it, if it's your nature, if it's your DNA, if you know it's true, that God is your Father, I want you to come sing in this.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the
King. It's in my nature. Do you know you're a child of the King? Would you begin to come and fill these altars? Say, he changed my nature. If you're here as a child of Satan, you could leave here as a child of God. He'll make you his own. He'll change your heart. He'll change your life. In my spiritual DNA.
Oh, yes. I'm a child of the
He changed
King.
The way that I think.
His role
He changed the way that I feel.
Now flows through
He changed my
veins.
Nature.
And I, who was wretched and poor, I now can see. Praise God.
Oh, you ought to rejoice if God is your Father. Well, don't you honor him in your prayers this morning? I honor you, God. I honor you, Jesus. I honor you. You're the great I Am.
And his royal blood.
Listen as you pray. Let him be your I Am.
He is the great I am. Let him be your I am. Call him that. You're my I am. Hallelujah. Change of nature. He changed me. He changed me.
Praise God.
He changed
me. I'm a child of the King.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. We honor you, Father. We give thanks to you, Father. We honor you. Thank you for sending your Son. Hallelujah. Oh, rejoice of God your Father. Rejoice. It's in my nature. It's in my spiritual DNA. I've been born again. Hallelujah. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we honor you. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.